The military boot camp especially breaks you down so that it can rebuild you again. And that's what we're looking at today. This idea of boot camp experience is an essential part of the process that prepares recruits. In other words, it's a process that transforms a civilian into a soldier. It provides for them a structure and an environment that develops physical, emotional, and psychological strength. The military takes young people from the culture that we live in. Okay, this culture that we belong to as civilians, it takes young people from this culture that value individualism and self-preservation and personal rights and personal satisfaction. And then what it does is it transforms them into young people that are willing to sacrifice, willing to face danger. When gunshots fire, they are willing to run to the gunshots. They're willing to run to the chaos. They are willing to do whatever is necessary to defend others. And when you think about that, when you think about the young people, how they go in versus how they come out, there is quite a transformation that actually takes place. Boot camp prepares recruits for the new lives that they're going to live, the new roles that they have been given, new standards that they're required to live by, and a new purpose for their life. The same is actually true for Christ followers. We need a boot camp experience. We need difficult environments that challenge us and strengthen us and prepare us for the new lives that God has for us. When you get in the military, they require and they put you in positions that you have to face difficulties that you don't want to face. You're required to do the rappel, whether you want to or whether you don't, whether you think you're good at it or whether you don't. You have to do it. That's how you get better at it. And the more that you do it, the more confidence you gain. The more that you expose yourself to these environments, the more confidence you have in yourself. Because most of our fears come because we don't believe we can do it. And I'm convinced that I wish that churches had the same kind of requirements, even though nobody would go to church. If we had the same kind of requirements, it would be so cool, because here's what I hear when I say, man, you need to get in a place to serve. Oh, I can't do that. All right, you know what? You need to share your faith. No, that's not my gift. Oh, you need to do that? No, I can't do that. And so what we do is we disqualify ourselves from all the things that God calls us to do, and where there's no environment that forces us to do what God wants us to do. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, how? It would be difficult. We would hate it. But at the same time, how much better would it actually be for us if we were required to do what we think we cannot do? Because over time, you would understand something, that God who works in you gives you the ability to do what he's called you to do. But we don't ever put ourselves in that kind of environment. So as Christ followers, here's the thing. We lack training that gives us strength for long term. We come in and we don't have the training that really equips us to follow Jesus long term. And what happens, some people begin with a relationship with Jesus, and then when life gets difficult, and it will get difficult, we know that, we give up because we feel like, you know what, we don't have what it takes, we can't cut it, it's too hard. We start looking at our problems with a wrong perspective. We stop looking at problems that actually benefit us. We start looking at problems as issues and hurdles and obstacles and things we don't like and things we try to avoid, when really obstacles and hurdles and these difficult times really are to our benefit. Hardships, trials, troubles, difficulties are important for our spiritual development as well, for all of us. You might even look at it this way. Last week we said problems have purpose. This week it's difficulties can develop you. The difficulties in your life can develop you. The military creates difficulties to be a part of the transformation process. They understand that difficulties are a part of the process that gives us a new identity. The military understands that these difficulties are a part of what give you a brand new identity. That you start losing the identity as a civilian, you start gaining the identity of being a soldier. See, the same is true for boot camp experiences that God takes us through. And that's just what the scripture that we looked at last week, we look at it right now too. It says, my friends, be glad even though you have a lot of trouble. You know that you learn to endure by having your faith tested, but you must learn to endure everything so that you'll be completely mature, not lacking in anything. So in other words, listen, the problems that you're going through right now, today, maybe this week, maybe it starts tomorrow and you haven't even entered into it yet. The problems that you're going through, the trials you endure, the seasons of heartache that you have, Maybe it's even a time of darkness. As difficult as they are, God uses these struggles to shape you. He uses them to shape you. And there's so, you will never be shaped the way God wants to do it absent from these difficulties that God takes you through. So when we understand that, we can actually look at it and consider it a great gift that we're able to go through difficult times knowing that that God uses it to shape us into who he wants us to be. An important part of the boot camp experience is boot camp will break you down and then rebuild you again. So here's the thing. The person that you are when you arrive in the military is not the person they want you to be. And they have to break you down in order to rebuild you into something brand new. They understand that recruits come in from a culture that is weak and inferior to the new culture that they are coming into of being a soldier. So here's the challenge that the military has, and that is they need to help the recruit understand that the new culture they now belong to, how important that new culture is. See, it's the same with us as Christ followers. We have to understand that God brings us into a brand new culture. The culture that he calls us away from is the world, and he calls us to a brand new culture. But we have to choose that culture, and we have to know how to live in that culture. Here's why this is so important. Our identity changes as we embrace our new culture. Whatever culture that you embrace, your identity begins to get shaped and formed. Culture shapes us. It affects what we see as acceptable. Culture affects how we think and how we act. And when I say culture, here's what I mean. I believe it's on your notes. Culture is accepted values that are rewarded and shape or produce desired behaviors. They are values that are important to us. And not only are they important, but they are rewarded and they are reinforced. And so as they are rewarded and reinforced, what they do is they create a culture of behavior that is necessary. So in other words, your home has a culture, has values that you choose to live by. If somebody comes, you invite somebody into your house and they choose to live by a different culture, you ask them to leave because that's not a culture that we allow in our home. This is an accepted culture. This is accepted behavior. If you choose not to act in this way, then you can't be a part of this culture. Your work has culture. Anticipated desired behaviors out of values. Your friends have a culture. Church provides a culture. And each of these cultures that we have, that we are a part of, change us, some for good, some for bad. They expose us to principles and morals that become embedded in who we are and what we see as important in our behavior. The reason that this is so important is the culture that we embrace shapes who we become. The culture that you choose to embrace provides the structure, support, and rewards that we need for the desired behavior in our lives. Culture shapes us, and it can even inspire different and new behaviors in our life. We either embrace the culture of this world, the culture that says you're number one, the culture that says look out for yourself, the culture that says live to please yourself because nobody else is going to please you. You make sure that you're taken care of. Put yourself first. That culture, we can choose that culture if we want. Or we can choose God's culture, a culture that establishes God as being most important, that says, hey, put yourself last and serve other people first. It's a totally different dichotomy, a totally different set of values, a culture that establishes God as being most important in our lives. That's what Romans 12:1 talks about. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think, and then you will learn and know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And I like how the message says the first part. It says, don't become so well adjusted to this culture, this world's culture, that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Because the truth is that culture is going to shape your future. It's going to shape your direction. But here's something else that gets shaped. The culture we embrace shapes our identity. The culture that we embrace really affects how we see ourselves. When I say your identity, maybe a definition that I want to refer to, and this is what I'm talking about. It's a fill-in on your notes. It says, your identity is the lens through which you see and value yourself. That's your identity. the lens by which you see and value yourself. And that's the kind of the issue that I want us to look at today. What is the lens that you see and value yourself through? How do you see yourself? I want to make sure that we get this because the culture that we embrace, the culture that you personally accept and value, will shape how you see yourself. God says, don't accept what the world says about you because it's empty. Because the world doesn't love you. The world doesn't care about you. The world doesn't put any importance on you. Do not look at yourself the way the world sees you. God says, accept how I see you. Another fill-in is this: we become who God created us to be as God changes our identity. And you become who God created you to be, not because you try hard, not because you work hard, not because of willpower, because God changes our identity and how we see ourselves. There are a lot of people who see themselves as failures due to mistakes in their past. They keep these kind of opinions that we have about ourselves, they keep us separated from God. Some people see themselves as unacceptable to God because of their past, because of mistakes they made, because of things that they've allowed in their lives. They said, you know what, I can't be this because I was this. Listen, you might need a new identity. You might. You might need a God-centered identity. And a good way to test it is this. If you have a history, you might need a new Christ-centered identity. If you've made mistakes in your past, and those mistakes still come up in your mind, if maybe you've had a few failures in your life and those failures kind of keep you from trying new things because I failed in the past and if it keeps you disqualified because I failed and I'm just not smart enough, or maybe you've disappointed yourself or you've disappointed others and you have that history, or maybe you need a new identity if you have hurts. Maybe somebody else has labeled you. Maybe they've identified something in you and it's stuck. And now you see yourself. Maybe you've had parents that they just belittled you all of your life and it just became a part of your DNA, and now you can't help but think about that whenever you think about yourself. It's just who I am. Maybe you need a new identity if you have hang-ups. Maybe if there's something in your life that you just can't get past, you can't get over, you can't defeat it. It might be a habit or a hurt or something. You go, I've tried and I can't seem to get over it. And what happens is, with all of these things, whether it's history or hurt or hang-ups, we feel guilty. We're not good enough. We're unworthy. We have these negative thoughts about ourselves. We have this poor self-image. And you might say, Dave, I do. I have a history. You don't know what I've done, but I did it and it was bad. I'd say, yeah, okay. Dave, you don't know. I have these hurts and you don't know how deep those hurts go. And I'm like, I don't, but God does. Dave, I do have hang-ups. I still struggle. And I've tried to overcome, and I tried and I prayed, and I cannot seem to get over this thing, and it just has disqualified me. I want to tell you that feelings are legitimate. Okay, they come and they go, they change, but feelings are not facts. In fact, the fill-in on your notes is, what you were in your past may describe you, but it doesn't have to define you. It might describe who you were, it might describe what you've done, but it doesn't have to define who you are. And I think too often we allow our past and we allow people and problems to define who we are. And then what happens is our own feelings support what other people say. And we need God to redefine us, to give us a fresh perspective of who you are personally to Him. There's always a starting point with a new identity. And I would say one of the starting points, though, if you want a new identity in Christ, one of the starting points is this: we have to unlearn what keeps us tied to our old identity. We have to unlearn. We have this identity that of lies that we have believed over time. And we have to unlearn what is true or what we have always thought as true. You're not a failure because you failed. You're not a quitter because you quit. You're not a loser because you lost. We have to stop believing what we have accepted as true, what others have maybe said about you, maybe what you have done. Another thing that we need, another starting point is we have to learn to accept an identity that doesn't seem to fit us. This is probably one of the hardest things. I mean, it's hard to unlearn what we have always thought to be true, but this is another thing that's really difficult for us to learn. A new culture is never going to feel comfortable. The guys that show up on this video that we've watched, the guys that show up, the females that show up, it's not a culture that they fit into. When they start calling them a soldier, they're not feeling, hey, you know what, I'm a soldier. They don't see themselves. They don't feel it. There's a culture that is there that they don't fit into yet, but they are going to fit into it. We have to learn to accept an identity that doesn't seem to fit us. The identity that God calls us to is going to feel awkward, and we tell ourselves things like, well, you know, that's just not me. And we have to accept what God says about us, even if it doesn't seem to fit us, even if it doesn't seem feel comfortable. And let me just give you a starting point or something that Scripture that says this in Ephesians 2. It says, you, every person in here, you are God's masterpiece. He has created you anew in Christ Jesus so that you can do the good things that he planned for you long ago. That is a part of your identity. And you might say, oh, I'm not a God's masterpiece. You don't know me, Dave. You don't know me. I can't be a part of God's masterpiece. And I'm telling you, no, you don't know you. Do you get that? You don't know you because you are God's masterpiece. I mean, there might be other things that you could have to deal with that don't seem to fit, like you are completely forgiven. You are healed emotionally, spiritually, physically. You are valuable. The scripture is, you are loved. And you might say, oh, no, not me, not me. You just don't know, Dave. You don't know what I've done. We need a God-shaped identity. And we need God's lens so that we can see ourselves and value ourselves the way God does. So a God-shaped identity begins with this. And I want to start with a scripture that start from the beginning, Genesis, where it says, so God created human beings in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them, male and female, as he created them. And the reason I use that scripture is something that is so important that you have to understand, that you personally, you bear the image of God. You are not a mistake, you're not an accident, that God created you intentionally for relationship, and he created you with the ability to have relationship with him. And it is from that relationship that we all actually discover our value and who we actually are. That in Ephesians it says, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. It's through, as we look through the lens of God on our life, that we actually discover who we are and what we're living for. You were created for a relationship with God, and that relationship is based on his love for you, not how good you are or anything, not what you have done, but it's based on God's love for you. And we need to know that God's love is not defined by our past. It's not something that we could ever earn, and God's love is not based on our performance. God's love is a gift. So here's the point, and why I'm making that point. It's a common misunderstanding that God loves you unconditionally. And we talk a lot about how much God loves us, and that is important. He loves you just as you are, and there is absolutely nothing that you could do that would ever cause God to love you less, and you have to understand that. There is absolutely nothing you could ever do that would cause God to love you less. But here's what we misunderstand. God loving you does not mean that you're in relationship with God. Just because God loves you doesn't mean that you're in relationship with God, because relationship is never one-sided. Love requires a response. And God loved us first, so there has to be the response on us. What is our response? We choose to love him in return. See, relationship with God has conditions. It's contingent upon our actions. In fact, we can probably say it this way. It's another important fill-in, I think, on your notes to understand this. And that is, God's love is unconditional, but relationship with God has conditions. The new identity that we so desperately need comes from having this personal relationship with God through Jesus. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It just means that we love God in return. That we have to accept God's love for us. And we have to come to God on his terms. So a couple of the conditions are things like this. In Romans it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. If there's a condition. Another one is, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. There's a condition. You can't say, hey, I'm going to accept God's forgiveness, but I'm not going to forgive people. Loving God is not about our terms. It's on his terms. 1 John says that the command that we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. It's not on our terms. We can't come to God and say, okay, God, I'm going to love you and I'm going to accept that love, but I just can't love them. But here's the important news. God's love makes relationship possible. Not our good works, not the things that we do, not God's love is what makes relationship even possible. You might be thinking, Dave, you don't know what I've done. But I can tell you, I don't, but it doesn't matter. See, Scripture reminds us that God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So God loved you and me even when I was the worst of my worst. God's love opens the door to having a relationship with him. And God wants relationship with you. And when we accept that fact that God can and does love us, then here's what happened. This relationship with Jesus changes our identity. We can't have a relationship change into a God culture outside of Jesus and that relationship with Jesus. When we accept that Jesus loves us so much, he loved you so much that he died on the cross, it changes how we see ourselves. It changes how we understand how much God loves us. We stop trying to change ourselves for God, right? A lot of people do that. Hey, you invite them to church or something like that, and they say what? I got some things I got to clear up before I ever go into church. I got to stop this, and I got to stop this, and I got to stop this, you know, before I can ever go to church. It's a misunderstanding. We have to stop trying to change ourselves for God. And then what happens is this. We experience that God's love is actually what changes us because it causes us to see ourselves differently. When we understand how much God loves us, it changes how we see ourselves. What Jesus did for us means that you're valuable to God. It means that you're forgiven, even if it doesn't feel like you're forgiven. You're forgiven, you have to accept it. You're loved, but you have to accept it. And again, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. So today, this is what God says to you. Every single one of us, every single one of us, this is what God says to you. God says, I have made you new. The person that you used to be doesn't exist anymore. The person that you are is brand new. You are not your past. You are not what you have done. You are not who others think you are. You are not who others say you are. You are not who even you think you are. You are who God says you are. And whether you feel it, or whether you know it, whether it feels awkward, you are free. You are forgiven. You are loved. You are healed. You are blessed and completely forgiven. You are chosen by God, accepted by God as you are. You are valuable to God. He has something special in mind for you when he created you personally. You are his child. And you're never out of his sight. You are God's own possession. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. He has prepared a home in heaven for you because he wants to spend eternity with you. That is your identity. But the question is that how you see yourself? This is such an important part for us. It's such an important issue that we understand this identity that we have in Christ and how important that is, because it changes how we see ourselves. But if I can just give you, this is an important fill-in for your notes. I think it'd be great to fill in for you. When our identity is not in Christ, success will go to your head and failure will go to your heart. When we don't see ourselves the way God sees us, we evaluate life, we evaluate circumstances through pride and discouragement. It's always about us, whether it's good or bad. What happens is we see and value ourselves through a lens that is broken. We see and value ourselves through a broken lens. So how do we embrace this new identity? It begins with a relationship with Jesus, as I said earlier. And then it starts this way. We start valuing ourselves not by our past or by others' labels, but by God's love. We embrace this new identity by embracing what Jesus did for us and how much he loves us and how he sees us. We accept that God can and did forgive us, and that God loved you first. We also embrace a new identity when we stop believing God's love is limited or conditional. There's nothing you could do that would cause God to love you less. There's nothing that you've ever done that would cause God to love you less. And we also embrace a new identity when we rely on God's love to change us. It's not about us changing ourselves. It's about accepting how much we're loved and letting that love change how we see us, change how we see ourselves. Because as your identity changes, so does your behavior. Behavior will always follow your identity. I'd like you to close your eyes if you would. I don't know where you're at in your life, and I don't know if your lens is broken. How do you see yourself? Have you had some failures and things that have stuck and defined you? Have you bought into a culture that has changed the way that you look at yourself? Have you bought into a culture that doesn't love you like you should love you? I just want to encourage you today that you would just open your heart to God's love for your life. That you would, if you're not in a personal relationship with him, that you would accept what he's done for you and that he loves you. All the conditions are that you have to love him. And I want to encourage you, if you have that relationship, that you would live out of that relationship and allow his perspective, his lens, to become your lens. There might be some things that you have to unlearn that you've always thought were true. And there might be some things that you need to accept that feel a little awkward. Father, we come to you today, and you know our hearts, and you know each one of us and where we're at. Father, for those that don't have a relationship with you that want one, you hear their thoughts. You hear them say, I want that. I want to love myself the way you love me. I want to experience that kind of love. I want to experience a love that is unconditional. A love that values me more than anyone else. Father, we accept your love for us. And I ask today that you would help us to hold tight to the lens that you have for us, that we would see ourselves the way you see us. Father, may we embrace, open our hearts to just how great your love is. And may it inspire a new life, a new identity, new behavior. Thank you for loving us today. Thank you for redefining our lives. Thank you for giving us value when we don't deserve value. Thank you for creating us for a relationship that we don't even deserve. May we never take that for granted, and may it continue to transform us and change us as we discover just how much you love each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.